Resurrection Sunday, I mentioned this last week. Resurrection Sunday is coming up April the 4th. And last week I mentioned that this is a really good time of the year to read that great book by Dr. Werwolf, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, and also to read the Gospels. I just finished reading all the Gospels, and gee, you know, to see our wonderful Savior in action, it's just thrilling, isn't it? His love, his compassion, his tremendous teaching of God's Word, his healing of so many people, manifesting the power of God, and then, of course, laying down his life for you and for me. It's just so wonderful that we have those to read. This morning, I'm going to share some of what I taught last night to the guys at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, and that video teaching is up now on my YouTube channel. We're going to look this morning at what it means to believe God. But first, let's take a little time for some prayer and manifestations. Well, today is Sunday, March the 14th, 2021. And if you would, please take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. That's where we're going to begin this morning. We're going to look at asking and believing. Now, there are a number of aspects of prayer. One of them is our specific petitions. You know, prayer can be praise to God, or it can be thanksgiving to God. It can be praying on behalf of someone else. And then prayer is also our specific petitions. So that's why I titled this Asking and Believing. When we pray for specific things, we are asking God. So we're going to look this morning and consider asking and believing. And I wanted to start in Mark chapter 11. Verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." I think these two verses are familiar to a lot of people, but sometimes they're misunderstood. We're going to come back to them in just a bit. There's lots in the Bible about prayer, as you know, including when it comes to asking God or letting our requests be made known unto him or petitioning God. Asking him is not complicated. I mean, we ask for what we need, but sometimes we make believing complicated. So most of what we're going to look at this morning is reviewing this wonderful topic of believing God. The simplest definition that I know for believing is accepting information as true. And this applies to any information. And so utilizing that definition, in order to believe something, you have to have something to accept as true. In the New Testament, you might be familiar that there's a word group in Greek that means to be persuaded that something is true, to be convinced something is true. And you're probably aware that the translators mostly translate the verb in that word group as believe or believing, and they translate the noun as faith. And that has caused some confusion, because sometimes people think of that word faith and it's kind of vague. You know, what is faith? Well, he's a man of faith. I need more faith. Well, it's the Christian faith. Maybe it's the Anglican faith. What is faith? Sometimes not understanding the meaning of the word that was translated faith can cause some confusion. So to keep things simple and help us gain a little more understanding this morning, except when we're reading the verse, we'll stay consistent with believe or believing. Now, if you would turn to Romans chapter 3, show you a verse where that Greek word actually comes up three times in one verse. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" You know, so there you see faith and you see believe, and then unbelief is also from that same word. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the believing of God without effect?" God forbid, the next verse says. So again, believing is accepting information as true. And we can accept any information we want as true, right? We have free will. You know, you can hear something on the news and accept that as true, right? Well, people do that all the time, right? But could we hear something on the news that is not true and still accept it as true and believe it? Well, yeah. So this morning we're considering believing God. And when it comes to believing God, are we accepting the right information? Believing God is not simply determining within ourselves that something is going to happen. You know, we just decide something's going to happen and I'm going to believe God. You know, I want to play second base for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And so I'm just praying and believing God. No. Believing is accepting information as true. And believing God is the same as believing anything else. It's accepting information as true. And so when it comes to believing God, it has to be based on reliable information. That information has to be correct. And because we have the freedom of will to believe whatever we choose to believe, even if we're believing something fervently, boy, I'm just totally convinced, I'm fully persuaded. If it's wrong information, that's not going to work out so well. Let's look at a couple examples in the gospel. Look at Mark chapter 5. And these records we're going to look at in the gospels perhaps are familiar to you, but it's great to look at them and gain some understanding by reading the scriptures. Mark chapter 5. We'll start in verse 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." Oh my gosh, it's a long time to suffer, isn't it? "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." You know, verse 27 says that when she heard of Jesus, that's information. There must have been a great deal of conversation going on about Jesus Christ and his healing people and him operating the power of God. She had information. And then it says, you know, she touched, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." You know, she went totally against culture, because in that culture, a woman does not go up and approach a man. And verse 28 again, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." She determined this based on the information she had heard. And then verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'You see the multitude thronging thee, and you're saying, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" According to Jesus Christ, her deliverance was attributed to her faith, to her believing. That's why she got delivered. You see, what's most important is not that we believe, but rather what we believe. She was healed by believing coupled with trustworthy information. And again, we always determine what we're going to believe. But regardless of what we believe, just because we believe, that's no guarantee for truth. Even if it's fervent belief, that still doesn't affect reality. How many people a long, long time ago fervently believed, were convinced that the world was flat? They absolutely believed it. It didn't change reality any. Matthew, back up a little bit to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew 8, we'll start in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Centurion is a Roman soldier in charge of 100 soldiers. And saying, Lord, my servant lies home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Do you see what this man believed? He had some information, obviously, and it was very trustworthy information. Then he said, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to somebody else, come, and he comes. I say to somebody else, do this, and he does it. I understand what authority is. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This centurion understood what authority was, right? I know exactly what authority is. I say this, he does it. I say this. More importantly, he recognized Jesus Christ's authority, the power that Jesus Christ operated. He had very trustworthy information, and he chose to believe that information. You don't even need to come to my house. You just say it and it'll be done. I understand what authority is about. And again, Jesus Christ attributed the deliverance to his believing. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David. That's significant. Have mercy on us. In God's word, we read where God promised David that from his line would come the Messiah. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Look at the question Jesus asked them. Jesus said unto them, do you pray a lot? Do you keep the law perfectly? Are you tithing all the time? No. One question. You believe that I'm able to do this. Do you believe that? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, we do. That's the information they believed, that Jesus Christ was able to bring to pass healing for them. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, according to your believing, be it unto you. It's very clear to see here they had information about Jesus Christ and they believed it. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, this woman is not of Israel. She's a Gentile. I think in another gospel, this same record says that she was Greek, Syrophoenician. She was Greek. But look at this. O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. He just ignored her. Didn't say anything to her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. Tell her to go away. She's crying after us. So then he has an answer. He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sorry. That's who I'm sent to. And that's who Jesus Christ was sent to minister to Israel. Remember when he sent the disciples out? He said, don't go unto, you know, the Gentiles and all this. Just rather go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So first he ignored her, didn't say anything. Now he's saying this. Then came she, verse 25, and worshipped him, showed great reverence, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, Look, it's not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Wow, that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? And I think you're aware that God chose Abraham, and from Abraham's lineage came what we refer to as the children of Israel. The Hebrew people were God's people. God chose them to be his people, to be their God. And he would take care of them. He would protect them. They were just to follow him and not other gods. And all the other nations are referred to as the Gentiles. And God's people Israel were to have no dealings with the Gentiles. Nope. Don't go to their house. Don't hang out with them. Especially don't eat with them. You know, you just totally avoid them. They were like dogs. So he ignored her. Then he said, Look, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's saying, Help me. And he said, Look, it's not right to give the children's bread unto dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. Notice how she keeps calling him Lord. She said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. All I need, Lord, is a crumb. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, great is your believing, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Wow, this is a Gentile. She obviously had heard about Jesus Christ. She addressed him as Son of David, Lord. She had very reliable and trustworthy information, and she believed it. And Jesus just, wow. He said, Great is your believing. Remember where it says that Jesus Christ could not do many mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief? Let's back up a little bit because it's really close by. Matthew 13, towards the end of Matthew 13. In verse 54, when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Wow, we are so blessed to have you here. No. They were astonished, verse 54 says, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? This isn't making any sense, because is not this the carpenter's son? We know his dad, Joe, and his mother, that's Mary, right? You guys, that's Joe and Mary's kid. His brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, you know, this is his hometown. Whence then hath this man all these things? There's something not right here. We know him. We know his family. We know his brothers and sisters. What is this? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They did not receive the healings and the deliverance they could have because they did not believe. The woman with the issue of blood heard of Jesus, and what she heard, she believed. The blind men believed Jesus was the Son of David and that he could heal them. The woman we just read about in chapter 15 obviously had some information about Jesus Christ. She believed he was the Son of David, and she chose to believe it. And here, in his hometown, they did not believe, and they did not receive the blessings that they could have received. Remember when Jesus Christ opened his public ministry? You can read about that in Luke sometime. He went into the synagogue, read from the scroll of Isaiah, read a specific portion. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind. And, he read that section and then looked them in the eye and said, he stopped reading, gave the scroll back to the minister. He sat down and he looked at him and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What a day that must have been to be sitting there. And then Jesus Christ said those words, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, a prophecy of the Savior to come, of the Messiah. And the people were like, oh, aren't we so privileged and blessed? My goodness, the Son of David, the Messiah must be here. No, it's not what happened at all. Not at all. You know how they responded? Was he speaking the truth? This day is this scripture fulfilled? Yes, he was. They could have chosen to believe the truth he was speaking, but instead they said, this is Joseph's kid. That's what they chose to believe. But that wasn't correct information. In fact, these people that heard that day had some real fervent believing to the point that shortly after this, they tried to take Jesus Christ and throw him over the cliff. They certainly were not believing the right things. The scriptures, God's word, tells us what to believe. And that's such a great truth when you think about it. God's word tells us what to believe, what to accept as true. And God's word also shows us the importance of what to believe, how valuable God's word, the written word of God, is to us. In Romans, it says that faith or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word shows us what to believe. But look at Hebrews chapter 4. God's word shows us what to believe. God's word shows us what the truth is. We can believe it or not believe it, but God's word is truth. It's what Jesus Christ said. So God's word shows us what to believe, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, for unto us was the gospel, the good news preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, believing in them that heard it. See, it's not just hearing the scriptures. It's not just reading our Bibles. We profit from God's word by believing it. When we rightly understand it, then we can choose to accept that information as true and believe it. So let's go back where we started this morning in Mark chapter 11, and let's look at those verses again. Mark chapter 11. What a wonderful topic this is in God's word, and how profitable it is for us to understand it. Mark 11, again, verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you take these two verses out of context, it may look like whatever you desire when you pray, if you believe, you'll receive. Well, let's read the context. Go back to verse 12. And on the morrow, verse 11 tells us that, you know, he was there in Jerusalem in the temple, and then he went to Bethany with the 12. Next day, verse 12, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. This is the, what they call the people's tree, fig tree. And in the springtime, which is when this happened, the leaves would come out, and then there would be the little buds, you know, the immature fruit. But it was real sweet to eat. Makes it like a nice little snack. So he saw the fig tree afar off, had leaves, good, walked over to it. But he found nothing but leaves. The time of figs was not yet, so if there's no little buds, there's not going to be any fruit. And Jesus answered and said unto it, you know, the disciples saw a lot of great things. I don't know how many times they saw this. The Lord Jesus Christ talking to a tree. And he said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Was he just talking to the tree? Yes. You know, you look at this, and you ought to keep in mind that Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. I always do those things that please him. I always do the will of the Father. So they heard it, and they're like, holy cow, he just talked to the tree. And they came to Jerusalem. You know, they headed on back to Jerusalem. Let's pick it up in verse 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Next day, verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Usually a tree, the leaves start going bad, you know, and then the little branches and all. This one died backwards, dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, oh my gosh, that's the tree he was talking to yesterday. He said then to him, Master, look at the fig tree which you cursed. It's withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now first of all, just reading verse 23, I say unto you, whosoever say to this mountain, does that mean if you or I get up one morning and pick out a mountain in our area? Okay, I'm here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, Glendale. There's Camelback Mountain over there. So I get up one morning and go, hey, Camelback Mountain, be removed and cast into the sea somewhere, and not doubt in my heart, and believe it's going to happen. Is that what Jesus was saying? It's a good thing that's not what he was saying. Who knows what the landscape would look like? In order to rightly understand verses 23 and 24, we need to keep verse 22 in the context and understand it. In verse 22, it's best understood as Jesus saying, believe God. Or you could say, have believing in God. But it's best understood, believe God. Now, keep in mind, in the context, Jesus was responding to Peter being somewhat astonished at the fig tree, completely withered away. And Jesus is teaching them, believe God, for verily, right? Look at verse 22 again. After Peter's like, wow, look at that. And Jesus answering said unto them, believe God, for verily I say unto you. If you leave verse 22 out of the context, then it looks like verses 23 and 24 are saying you can pray and believe for anything, anything you want. But if you leave verse 22 in there where it belongs, then you need revelation or information from God. And if you get revelation from God, then that is what you believe. Jesus was telling them and teaching them. He got revelation from God to do what he did. Our prayer of believing is based on God's word. Once we have God's word, verses 23 and 24 come to pass, not based on something we've predetermined in our minds, but on the reliability of God's word. And God's always faithful to bring his word to pass. Look at this again, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, believe God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, watch this, but shall believe that those things which he saith, God says, shall come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus said, believe God. That eliminates us ordering God around about something we've just decided we're going to pray about and then thinking, well, you know, if I pray and believe, it's going to come to pass. No, no. Rather, we believe God. If he says so, I believe it. If he said it in his word, I believe it. If he gives revelation, then I believe it. You know, you can read a similar record about another fig tree in Matthew 21 that happened shortly after this incident. And Jesus Christ again taught the same lesson. We looked at this before, but go to Hebrews chapter 4 again, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. I know we looked at this just a few minutes ago, but Hebrews 4:2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith or believing in them that heard it. And again, it's not enough to just hear the word of God, not enough to just read the scriptures, but we have to choose to believe it. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. The end of Hebrews chapter 10, last two verses, which come right before the beginning of chapter 11, which is a fantastic chapter about believing. In Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, believing. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back, not us, draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. That's who we want to be, those who believe God to the saving of the soul. And then you come to Hebrews chapter 11, and this chapter is full of people who did the impossible because they believed information they received from God. Sometimes this is referred to as the Hall of Fame of Believers or the All-Stars. You know, all these wonderful people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to read it this morning, but it might be fun to read it after hearing this teaching, you know, to see these wonderful people who believed God, Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses' parents and, you know, Isaac, all these guys, wonderful believers. Verse 1 says, now faith. Now, believing is the substance, or sometimes it's translated title deed, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I have a promise of God's word and I decide I'm going to believe it, right? That believing is the evidence, the substance, the evidence, the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by believing, the elders obtained a good report. those listed here in Hebrews 11 received a good report from God. Why? Because they believed. By believing, they obtained a good report. And if you would, look at verse 6. Isn't this interesting? But without faith, without believing. And again, what are we talking about? Believing what? That the sky is blue, the chocolate's sweet? Without believing God, it's impossible to please Him. Boy, you know, people come up with all kinds of things saying, well, do this, it'll please God. Do this, you'll be pleasing to God. Pray on your knees, that'll please God. You know, do this, do that. What does God's word say? Without believing, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. He is who He says He is in His word. That's first. We believe that He is. And look at this, that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. These wonderful believers that you read about here in Hebrews 11, they didn't come up with all these impossible things on their own. We don't decide on our own, make up our own minds that something impossible is going to come to pass. And if we just pray and believe it because, you know, we think that's what those two verses in Mark 11 say, you know, I'm going to pray and believe that tomorrow my bank account's going to have an extra $5,000. Good luck with that. But when we do have a need, we ask, we pray and ask. We go to God in prayer. The Bible says that we should cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. The Bible says, let our requests be made known unto God. Jesus Christ said men ought to always pray and not faint. He said, seek, knock, ask. We pray about all kinds of things. But if we take those two verses in Mark to mean every time we pray for something, if we believe it, it's going to come to pass. No, that's not a right understanding of those verses. And again, believing is being persuaded that information is true. So when it comes to believing God, that's being persuaded that information from Him is true. Believing does not equal prayer. Now that doesn't mean if we don't have revelation, we can't pray. But it also doesn't mean that prayer is believing, and believing is prayer. Prayer is prayer, believing is believing. And if I don't find something specific in God's word, or I don't have revelation from Him, gee, then what do? Pray. And when I pray, I'm not believing for something. Right? What is believing? Being persuaded that information is true. So when I'm praying, I'm not believing for something, I'm asking God for something. I pray and ask God for what I need. And by the way, we can't believe for someone else. We can pray with someone else. We can pray for someone else, but we can't believe for someone. And one final note here. One of the nine manifestations of the Spirit is the manifestation of, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, faith, believing. The manifestation of believing. One of the nine is the manifestation of believing. That's an operation of the Spirit. Both regular believing and the manifestation of believing employ the same mechanics. The only difference is that when it comes to the manifestation of believing, the information we choose to believe comes by revelation from God. I hope this has given you a little more understanding, not only of those two verses in Mark's gospel, but also concerning asking and believing. And really, the more we read records in God's word about people believing and receiving, really, that's the greatest way for our understanding to grow, and we get, you know, just greater understanding concerning believing God. And on top of that, there's so much in God's word, information from God that we can read and then choose to believe. God said it, so I believe it. We can go to our Heavenly Father and say, you said you would supply all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You said it, I believe it. You said, by Jesus Christ's stripes, I was healed. You said it. I believe it. We can choose to accept information from God as absolutely true and believe it, period. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness, for your love, for your mercy. And Father, we certainly thank you for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that because of him, we not only have eternal life, but we have all the rights, privileges, and abilities that come to us with that eternal life and the sonship that you are now literally our Father. And how grateful we are for your written word. That Father, we not only read about people before Christ came, but we can read about Jesus Christ and how he walked with great power and ministered to people and then gave his life for us. And we can also read about the results of that, what we have available to us. And that, Father, we can read your word and believe it and see the results in our lives. Thank you for your goodness, your grace. Father, I pray that you would bless everyone on this phone call this morning and for those that may listen to it later, to bless them abundantly in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. Feel free to share this phone number with anyone you think might be blessed to join us on Sundays. This teaching will be posted a little bit later on my blog, confidenceandjoy.com. Feel free to share it with someone if you think it might be helpful, or you can share the YouTube version if you like as well. Have a blessed week believing God, praying and expecting God to supply all that you need. Keep praying lots for our country, and let's continue to pray for open doors to speak God's word to those who want to hear it. And we'll be back again next Sunday. Unless, of course, the Lord returns. But until then, I love you, and may God bless you abundantly.